everybody. Welcome to a podcast. This is a podcast that's named Magic the Amateuring. This podcast named Magic the Amateuring is brought to you by two hosts. I'm one of them. My name is Megan, a host of a podcast named Magic the Amateuring.
My name's Maria, and I'm considerably more awake than my co-host Megan. Although I'm also a host of Magic the Amateuring, I would say I'm about 70% more awake than you at this moment.
So would you think that translates into you 70% hosting this show? Because I think I've said 70% of the words so far. Even if they haven't all been unique words. Of the unique words spoken, you've probably spoken 70%. But I've spoken the most words.
Okay. We're going to put Megan to bed real soon after this episode. She's tired. You want to know why she's tired? She was writing at GP Charlotte doing text coverage.
That's right.
Because we just got off of a big modern weekend.
It was a crazy modern weekend.
You're talking really quiet right now.
I am?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yes, you're talking sleepy and you're talking tired.
Okay, I'm trying.
Megan, I'm trying. I'm going to do a shot in your heart trying. Like Pulp Fiction.
Ah! Or like that James Bond film. Yeah.
Yep.
But in the car, it was in the glove box.
Yeah. I mean.
Casino Royale.
That is the most badass thing any James Bond has done, period.
Oh, it's so true.
You can't top it.
It's so true. How the fuck are you supposed to top?
Like giving yourself. Yeah. Anyway. Better than fighting on a gondola. Better than whatever the hell else James Bond has done.
And he's done so many things.
He's done a lot of stuff.
He really has.
Nothing like restarting your own heart in a car. Megan, I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to threaten you right now.
No.
If you don't pull it together.
No.
It's okay. I feel bad for Megan because she... What time did you wake up this morning?
I woke up at 4:30 this morning so that I could catch a 6 o'clock flight and then work a full day of my normal job. After working a 30-hour weekend.
The glamorous life of a magic content creator here on display. You can see Megan behind these bars.
I'm with it.
Yes, you're hip and you're with it. Coming
I really
off
am.
Of a big modern weekend, we had GP Charlotte modern.
It was great.
GP LA.
It was so there was so much happening.
A lot of modern being played.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of
look
decks
around you.
A lot of different decks making it into the top eight.
Yeah, a diverse top eight.
Yeah, exactly. Though some people have disagreed with the banning of Splinter Twin when it happened.
Yep.
You have to admit, like, there used to be usually several Splinter deck twins in the top eight. And now there was at Charlotte, there were eight different decks.
Yeah, and LA also.
So that's something, you know?
That's a sign of a healthy metagame, which brings
really
us
is.
To what we're going to be talking about in the show coming up. Of course, going to recap Charlotte and LA, but also we're going to do a For the Noob segment on metagame and modern and how exactly you plan for that. Should you play to the metagame or should you just play your Boggles deck and say, screw it?
Yeah, we've talked metagame a little bit before in the context of standard, but modern, it's a totally different animal because all of the, like, there isn't, cards don't rotate out. They're here and they're goddamn here to stay.
Unless they get banned.
Yeah, don't be too good and you can stay here forever.
Yeah. That's what my mom said.
Yep. I was gonna liken it to like all of humankind.
Yeah.
Like we're having a Billy Joel only the good die young moment here.
God's like, all right, you guys get too good at what you
You're
do.
Too good?
I'm gonna smite you
get
all.
Out of here.
If you guys remain average and sort of corrupt and kill the earth slowly, it's fine. You
and
can stay.
Damn, we're trying.
Yep, we're trying as hard as we can.
So, you have all that and more to look forward to.
Including Kaladesh.
Say what?
And Eternal Masters preview cards.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Megan almost said two words right there.
And I couldn't figure out what they were. So, I went with only one of them.
One and a half, I'd say.
What was the other one I started to say?
Holy.
Oh, yeah.
For the Noobs, modern metagame.
That's right. So, as we mentioned, we've talked about metagame on the show before. Yep. But really, we usually, I think we've addressed it more in the context of something like standard. Just because that's something that it changes so much more frequently. But in modern, there is a metagame, but what you choose to do with it is a little bit more up to you.
Yeah, because modern is quote unquote an internal format, mm-hmm. meaning that it doesn't rotate out.
Mm-hmm.
People are, you know, they're usually more inclined to pick a deck, make a deck, and just go and play it at a big tournament because they're also more expensive to put together. Mm-hmm. So you don't always want to be switching up your decks a lot. So some people are like, I play Merfolk. That's what I play. Metagame be damned. I'm not going to go to town trading for new cards, building a new expensive deck. I'm just going to bring this and play it and hope it does well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big reason why a lot of people do just play one modern deck. And another part of it is that, like, again, because you might stick with the same deck and other players also are sticking with the same decks, sometimes, you know, there's the hot new thing. Eldrazi, looking at you, a little bit too hot, and you got kicked out of here.
Yep.
Goes right back to what we were saying. Don't be too good, and you can stick around. But outside...
Treasure crews, get out.
Exactly. Mm-mm. Too good. They can stick around. So you're also going to not only know your deck super well, but you can know matchups super well as well.
Yeah, that's true. So, like, I know what to expect if I sit down and somebody's playing Lord of Atlantis against me. I can pretty much assume what's in the deck.
You, after a lot of practice, can understand what your optimal hands are. When you're looking at your opening seven, you can understand what you want to sideboard in super well. And you can even know, like, what's your game plan?
Yeah.
What are you looking to do? Are you going to hold back? And maybe if you have a lot of removal, you're going to want to spend removal. Or are you trying to beat them down? You also get a sense of what you're going to do against a fairly known field.
When you're playing modern, it's kind of like, are you going to, like, hit it and quit it or hit it and commit it, you know?
Yeah, and in modern, a lot of people choose to hit it and commit it.
I mean, it's a wedding. It's expensive. You don't really want to do it more than once if you can help it.
Yeah.
But there are advantages, of course, to playing the metagame and trying to get an edge on the weekend, which we've talked about before on this show. And what was kind of... Did you notice any decks this weekend that people were playing that were notably new decks that were trying to get a leg up on the competition?
Well, one of the new decks that's kind of come out of all of this is Jeskai Harbinger, which plays Nahiri the Harbinger and usually four of them, although it varies from deck to deck, but a lot of these play four of them and one Emrakul.
Because
Nahiri's ultimate, you go, you find your Emrakul, you swing with it.
Sick.
And usually that's good enough to end a game.
So what's Nahiri's ultimate?
Nahiri's ultimate is that you search out, I believe, a colorless card.
Yeah.
And it's for a creature until the end of turn. It's you attack with it and it has haste, and then it goes back to your hand at the end of your turn.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to swing with a 15-15?
Yeah. So people put, you know, an Emrakul in their deck, one Emrakul, and then four Nahiris, and then their plan is to protect Nahiri, until they're able to win by swinging with a big ol' Emrakul.
Yeah, that's her -8 ability. Okay, that's really cool. So she starts out with 4 loyalty, so you have to plus her a few times, but she has a +2, so it goes up pretty quickly.
Exactly. So, you know, 3 turns later, you can be using that ultimate on people. And what I thought was super interesting was that a couple of the people that I talked to playing this Jeskai Harbinger deck likened it kind of to being Splinter Twin-esque.
Yeah,
in that it had a lot of, it was playing white, whereas Splinter Twin was usually just blue-red. So this played white for Path to Exile. You know, a little bit more flexibility in killing other threats and protecting your Nahiri and protecting your life total until you can get this combo win of Nahiri's ultimate and Emrakul. But it also played, you know, it played Snapcaster Mages, it played Bolts, it played Serum Visions, effective ways to kill creatures, draw cards, you know, manipulate your deck and try not to die.
I suppose when a card says, go find a colorless card, you know, for an artifact or creature card.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Oh, so it just says for an artifact or creature card.
Yeah.
I thought it had to be colorless, so that's even, you know, you can put whatever you want. But if you can put whatever you want, why aren't you putting Emrakul?
If you can put whatever you want, why aren't you putting Emrakul? Yeah, I mean, like, it's just like asking to be built around, right? If any card that's like, go find whatever the heck you want, it's going to end up in a deck.
Exactly. And it gets haste. So you get to slap that Emrakul on the table and annihilate for six.
It's kind of a little through the breachy, huh?
Yeah. And I actually talked to someone else who was playing blue-red with Through the Breach and Emrakul instead. Ooh. So that's also a thing that people are running around doing.
Well, that's really cool. I'm glad you got to see some new decks of the weekend. Did you have any other favorites that you happened to notice that were passing by in the parade?
So we can kind of lead this towards also just talking about the Grand Prix.
Sure.
I guess before we do that, like, the last thing I want to say about metagaming, we kind of covered it, which is basically like, there's a lot of value in Modern to knowing a deck inside and out. And if you're gonna switch, know your new deck inside and out. Because flavors of ice cream come and flavors of ice cream go, but at the end of the day, Cherry Garcia is just the fucking winner.
What?
So
don't even with me right now. But Cherry Garcia.
Have you ever had it?
No.
Maria.
I don't need to have it,
Maria,
Megan.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand. It doesn't... I get why you're skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Don't be.
What's in it? Cherries?
It's like cherry ice cream with big cherry chunks and then like... Yeah, and then pieces of chocolate. It's amazing, though.
What if
it's so simple. And it's so good.
What if I want like Oreo pieces?
Go fuck yourself.
Megan gets really salty when she doesn't have any sleep.
I've had enough of this.
If you could play a deck in Modern, would you choose to metagame it, or would you pick a deck and go for it?
So, as I was watching this weekend, I really liked the look of this Nahiri Harbinger deck.
It sounds sweet.
Yeah, it just looked super
cool. Just
playing
good cards.
Exactly. And so I think that... I've been playing some Lantern Control in Modern,
and I
still think that there's a ton of value to sticking with something, but I'm definitely going to try this out. And if I switched over, like, I don't think it would be a thing where I'd be switching back and forth a ton. I'd be looking to really try out one and get to know it as well as I possibly could.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know what deck I would play?
What?
Boggles.
Of course you would.
That's right. It's called Boggles.
Yep.
Not Boggles. Okay, you hear me? Don't edit this out, Professor. I'm looking at you. I swear to God. Okay, we can talk about the GP.
Yeah.
All right. Modern weekend!
That's right. We already started kind of like teasing what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
It was super sweet. And I have to say that being in the middle of it at Grand Prix Charlotte was super cool.
Yeah.
Even though, as you might have heard, there was a serious snafu.
Yeah. Can you talk about those a little bit for people who don't know what happened?
Yeah, totally. So there's no knowing exactly what went wrong. There was some, like, the error began with a player, I think, like, registering late or not showing up to the player meeting on time or something like that. Like, somehow
so one player
getting kind of goofed
it?
In the system. Yeah. we know his name.
One player. Oh, we know this person?
No, we know
Egg
his
their
name.
House.
We name his
name. Okay.
No, I was just Juan.
What?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. I don't need to know their name.
No, you don't.
But it's just really funny just that really it was funny. One person.
It was one person. The reason why I'm laughing about it is because I was on text coverage with Jacob Van Loonen.
Yeah.
And the guy also accidentally lost his deck at one point, and they found it, and, like, we lost his deck list at one point because we needed to have it. So we ended up with this huge conspiracy theory around this person where they were intentionally screwing with the Grand Prix.
I mean.
So it was just very entertaining. Because every time that, like, something weird came up, it was always this
guy
at the center of it. It always was. So anyways, what happened is that the software that runs Grand Prix, which is provided by Wizards, is notably glitchy. And in this case, for some reason, starting in round 4, it was not acknowledging people gaining any more points over 3. People either, like, everybody had,
on a curve.
It had 3 or 0 points. And then, so people were being paired essentially randomly, right? Because the system is like, oh, I only need to pair 3 points with 3 points. So a person at 4-0 could play a person at 1-3.
Yikes.
And there was just nothing that they could do about it. And so then Star City Games, like, got it fixed for a round, but then it happened again. Like, the program just would not stop glitching like this, and they could not find a permanent solution for it. So I just want to, like, give a huge shout-out to Star City, because they, like, right, it was not their fault, and they were trying so hard, and they let people, if they wanted, drop from the main event and get an infinite challenge badge for free for the weekend.
What does that mean?
It's like a badge that gets you into anything that's not just like an on-demand event. So any scheduled event for the weekend,
oh, so like Super you get Sunday, in for free. You can get in for free.
I don't know if it includes Super Sunday, but it might.
Okay.
But it includes like every, you know, like any like two-headed giant tournament, any like foiled again tournament. Any of that sort of stuff that's being run on a time schedule. And they even added another event because they were giving all
these
people...
Was it called We're Sorry?
Yeah. Yeah. So they really just did a hell of a job, you know?
What
made
the
best out of a bad situation.
Made some lemonade.
Exactly. They sure did. So anyways, that was kind of like a crazy
So people
crazy
just played
moment.
Swiss against each other the rest of the day?
No. They eventually got it fixed. It happened in like rounds 4 and 6, but I think from going on from there, they got it fixed.
Okay.
So that was just crazy. What were we saying?
So we were talking about what happened with the system, but that was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. So that happened. Star City managed it as well as humanly possible.
Literally as well as humanly possible.
And then we had a really fantastic and diverse top 8.
And it was super cool. The hilarious part was that, like, the text coverage team, which is 2 people, divides up the semifinals. So they started the semifinals, and I had like gone to like fill up my water bottle or something. And so I like walk over there, and there's like Jake is already typing one, so I go over to the other one who's there and they're taking mulligans. And then they start playing, and I realize that one guy is playing Kiki Chord,
yep.
Which I understand. I've seen it before. And then the other guy is playing a combo which is known, but I have never personally seen played, called Ad Nauseam.
Ad Nauseam.
And
let's read Ad Nauseam for the people at home.
Oh my god.
3 black black instant. Reveal the top card of your library and put that card into your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost. You may repeat this process any number of times. Seems good.
Yeah. So this it's a combo deck that my hair clip came out.
You're falling apart.
You're tearing me apart,
Megan.
What was I talking about?
You're talking about the combo and
Right. So my first experience with this deck is sitting down and trying to write up a coherent write up of this match.
Yeah.
Not having any clue what's going on the first time around.
And
his opponent is chipping in for damage with like Fulminator Mage and Voice of Resurgence, all of these like value creatures that Kiki Chord plays.
Yeah.
Tries to go for a Kiki Jiki, which can help them get an infinite combo with like Restoration Angel. But the Ad Nauseam opponent counters the Kiki Jiki with a Pact of Negation. Then on their upkeep plays Angel's Grace, which is another key card, which says that you can't lose the game this turn. And your opponent can't win the game?
Huh?
Which means that you don't have to pay for your Pact of Negation as long as you cast this before that pact trigger resolves. So we cast that, and that's also important because it means that when you cast Ad Nauseam, right, it doesn't matter how much life you spend.
Yeah.
And you also use a card called Spoils of the Vault, which you play and you name a card.
Reveal cards from the top of your library and to reveal the named card. Then put the card into your hand. Remove all of the cards revealed this way from the game. You lose 1 life for each of the removed cards. 1 black.
Instant. Right. So a super powerful way to find something, but you're losing a lot of life. Angel's Grace is just like, screw you, man. I'm going to look as hard as I want.
Yeah.
And so it looks like this guy's about to win. He has a Lotus Bloom that just came off suspend. So he has all this mana. He has a Pentad Prism with all of its charge counters on it. All of this untapped mana. Cast Spoils of the Vault, naming Ad Nauseam, because he doesn't have it in his hand, right? And he needs that card to cast and to win. And as he starts flipping over cards from his library, he flips over a Laboratory Maniac.
Yeah.
And then he flips over a Lightning Storm. And he just stops And his opponent looks at him and he goes, were those your two win conditions? And the guy is like, yeah. And he scoops up. Wow. And they go to game two.
Wow. Sick beats, man.
It was crazy. And then he proceeded to win the next two games. So this deck uses Angel's Grace and another card called Phyrexian Unlife.
That's the craziest name of a card ever.
Yeah, Phyrexian Unlife says that you don't lose the game for having zero life. But if you're at zero or less life,
all damage your is infect.
Damage is infect damage, which ad nauseum and Spoils of the Vault are losing life, not damage. Yeah. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. It was just super crazy, and it was like, it was such a lesson. The judge across from me was so nice, because I had to lean across the table several times and be like, what just happened? And he very kindly, and I had all these gatherer tabs open with all of the cards, so I could just be like, what's going on?
What is this?
Exactly.
What is this craziness? So let me just quickly go run through the top eight at Charlotte. We had Naya Company. Yeah.
Which was the other deck in the finals, playing Tireless Tracker.
I mean, that card's good enough for modern. I mean,
with a bunch of fetch lands.
There was a question that was posed in coverage this weekend when they were playing Fact or Fiction. Is Collected Company more powerful in Standard right now or in Modern? And it was kind of split, like, right down the middle. Some people said Collected Company is better in Modern just because it's now part of an infinite life gain combo.
Yeah.
So there's that, but in Standards, it's almost in every single deck, so I guess, how can you choose an answer? So yeah, that's kind of neat to see sort of a port of a Standard deck showing up. Manaya Company.
Yeah.
Ad Nauseam. Jund, of course. Jund them out. Bring to Light Scapeshift. So this is this was a deck that was around a little while ago.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Eldrazi winter being over.
Yeah. We had Death's Shadow, which is something we saw at the Pro Tour.
Ooh, this is a Grixis list, though.
Ooh, indeed.
And it was super cool. Apparently, only two people were on it, Sam Black and Justin Cohen. And they both, smashed face pretty hard.
I love Death's Shadow. It's one black for this creature. It's a 13/13, and it gets -X, -X, where X is your life total.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's crazy. At one point, Sam came over and was telling Jake the story about how he killed someone on turn 3.
Yeah.
By going, like, turn 1, Thoughtseize. Turn 2, Thoughtseize you again, and Death's Shadow. And then, like, turn 3, some combination of, like, Teemer Battle Rage and, like, other Sick. Stuff to kill you.
Then we had another Jund deck, the Kiki Chord that you mentioned, Bant Knight Company.
Ooh, this is the other deck that I wrote a deck tech with this guy, Ely Cassis.
Yep.
And this deck uses, guess what? I bet you I could give you 20 cards and you would not list the card that is part of this combo.
Okay.
I bet you I could give you 100 cards and tell you that it's that it's from Battle for Zendikar block, and you still wouldn't.
Really?
Because it's so random.
Okay.
You ready for how random it is?
Okay, go.
Retreat to Coral Helm.
Whoa. All right. That is random.
The two in a blue enchantment that says landfall, either tap or untap a creature or scry one. And Knight of the Reliquary.
Yep.
Which you can tap and sacrifice a land to go get a forest or a plains and put it into play. Well, you put it into play, and then Retreat to Coral Helm says, Oh, landfall. I can untap this knight if you want me to. And you're like, yes, please. Let's untap this knight. And then let's do it again.
Yeah.
And all the time, the knight's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because it gets +1/+1 for each land card in your graveyard. And then you can swing for, you know,
20
a
billion?
Bunch. A whole bunch.
Do you know what I want to? I want to retcon something in Magic right now. Some wording. So you, Coral Helm says tap something, untap something else, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest that there's going to be a new word in Magic, and it's tippity tap, and that means tap something and then untap something else. Tippity tap.
Tippity tap.
So something's tippity and something's tapped.
But is that only when you can do both? Because Coral Helm is like you only get to do one or the either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that would have to be when you can do both.
One or the either.
Or the either.
You know how earlier you said lemonade into lemon, lemons into lemonade?
I just said made lemonade. I didn't mention the lemons.
Oh. So while I was writing up the finals between this Naya Company deck, which the guy in Naya Company had to mulligan to 5.
Yeah.
In game 2. but has had a Thalia Guardian of Thraben, which makes non-creature spells cast one more, which is like very good because it's his one of his only ways of interacting with ad nauseum. And as I was typing it up, his opponent used that. It makes Pentad Prism cost one more, and Pentad Prism only costs two, and it says for each color of mana you spend to cast it, it gets a charge counter, but it cost three because of Thalia. So he got to cast Pentad Prism for three using three colors of mana and put three charge counters on it instead.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
I mean, modern, and you can do some crazy shit.
But when I was trying to write it up, I was so tired. It was like, it was 12 hours into my day.
Yeah.
And I wrote making lemonade into lemons.
That is notably harder than the other way around. Like,
oh, he really made lemonade into lemons with that Pentad Prism.
Lemonade lemons would taste way better than actual lemons.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I want lemonade.
Don't we all? If we had a lemonade stand, would you, listener, come out and buy our lemonade?
Are we selling good lemonade?
Yeah, it's really good. But it's also horribly overpriced.
What? How much are we charging?
Like $6 for a glass.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's good.
How good is it?
Really good. There's drugs in it.
Oh, in that case, we're probably underselling.
Yeah, that's true. We're losing money for sure.
Yeah.
So not only GP Charlotte was happening this weekend, GP LA was also going on.
13-year-old kid in the finals.
Oh my gosh, I was so rooting for that kid. Isn't he was playing insane? Affinity, which is notably a difficult deck to play in Modern.
Yeah.
There's a lot of math.
Oh.
And he was just cool as a cucumber, Megan. He was not shaking at all. If I was 13 in a top 8, let me tell you what I would be doing. The answer is poop in my poo-poo pants, okay?
Why were you wearing poo-poo pants in the first place? Because
I probably pooed them earlier in the day when I made top 8. Okay? There'd been a lot of crap going down, literally.
We're so lucky you never top 8ed as a teenager.
I know. Hopefully now as an adult I can keep my shit together. See what I did there? Yeah, but it's really cool, 13-year-old. I mean, on this, what does it say on these packs, ages 13 and up?
Yep.
Guess they're right. Yeah, so he actually was runner-up. He played against Merfolk in the finals. So Merfolk won LA out. Like, who would have thought Merfolk was going to be the winner?
Professor?
The professor did, that's for sure. But I love seeing Merfolk win because I actually really love the Merfolk deck.
Yeah.
And it's just like aggro. It's just like very streamlined. It's like boom, bitty, boom, boom, boom. Play mm-hmm. some dudes, hit you with them, play them for free. Mm-hmm. Poof, 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 make your stuff into seas. Bam, bam, bam. Anyway, so I was kind of happy to see Merfolk. It's like an old classic coming back to roost.
Yeah, man.
You know, we don't always want to see the new flashy stuff.
Why are fish roosting? Are they birdfish?
They're Muldrifters.
Oh. I bet you Muldrifters roost.
You think?
No. I don't know.
Simon Slutsky was the... was the winner with his Merfolk deck. Let's see what else we had. So we had Merfolk, we had Affinity, of course. Red, Green, Tron. So this is something else notable. Yeah. Tron is not dead with the loss of Eye of Eugene.
I saw a lot of Tron this weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the Red, Green variety, notably.
Yeah, I mean, I played a lot with Tron, and mm-hmm. I love Tron, so I'm happy to say that it is not dead from that banning. So Tron was in there.
Long live Tron.
Grixis Control, Jund, Affinity, of course, Bant Eldrazi.
Bant Eldrazi, yeah, a deck that I also saw over in Charlotte.
Got some Thought Not Seers, Reality Smashers, Drowner of Hope, so this is kind of similar mm-hmm. to the Pro Tour deck.
Some Eldrazi Displacers. Yep. It's a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it is.
Goes a little bit bigger.
Then we had another Abzan, and then another Affinity and Abzan Company.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Do you know what was in that deck?
Abzan Company?
Yeah.
It depends on what variety of it was. Was it the Infinite Life combo?
I'm just saying there's no Seed Rhino in this one.
I know. Just that's FYI. Okay.
I wanted to let you know.
I spoke with Brian Bronduin this weekend, who was playing Seed Rhinos, and I let him know how personally upset I was by
good.
It.
Good. You were offended. You were personally offended by that Seed Rhino.
Especially yeah. when he mentioned winning a game. based on Cedrano.
Dirty way to go, Brian. Dirty way to go.
Rough.
I want to point out, too, that we had some great coverage from GPLA, Star City Games.
No,
it's... I mean, Channel Fireball.
Channel Fireball.
Sorry, it's Channel Fireball did a great job.
Channel Fernable.
Channel Ferber. Fantastic job on coverage.
Yeah.
It was probably the best GP coverage that I've seen. So, if you've been avoiding GP coverage, I would say give it another shot. Channel Fireball's hosting, because it was really well done. So
it was
pretty cool.
It was awesome.
We got to
and no video of Charlotte. So go read goddamn articles.
Yeah, Megan wrote some articles. Go read them on Daily.
You can also read about Craig Wesco played a Mardu humans brew.
Oh, I like Mardu. Was,
yeah, super interesting. Also up on the website.
What was the number one card in that?
There were a lot of really good cards.
Is Butcher of the Horde in it?
No.
Okay.
It costs four.
Well, it's just so Mardu.
That's true. No, I had, like, you know, Bolt's Path to Exile, Dark Confidant, but oh, also sure. Champion of the Parish and Thalia's Lieutenant.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Gather the Towns... Nope. Yes, Gather the Townsfolk.
I would read that article.
You should.
And so should all of you.
We plugged it hard.
Yeah, we and plugged it in so hard.
Go check out that GPLA coverage. It's sick.
Yeah. Super, super sick. It's like got the flu. Megan's like, I'm done. Magic news. Don't snooze. It's magic news.
I'm about to snooze.
I know you are. That's why I said it. Megan's about to fall asleep, so let's get this done. So
let's this dog on the road show.
Nope. It's not a saying.
Let's get this antique in front of a crowd.
I like that one. Let's get this antique in front of a crowd.
I'm so tired.
Let's spank this pirate's booty and set sail. So a lot of stuff has happened since our last show.
A lot.
So much that I've forgotten a lot of it. But let's try and remember the hits.
No, the biggest number one hit is that we are going to Kaladesh.
Kaladesh.
Home of Chandra. Home of Pia and Kieran Nalar.
Well, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Home of the graves of Pia.
Well, I guess we don't
It'll
know
be a land.
What time period That's in Kaladesh
we're It'll be to. A... I think from here on out, it's been going... It's like...
Forward?
Basically going forward.
Okay.
There's like slight, maybe slight overlap, but like SOI starts at the after the end of Battle for Zendikar.
Okay. That makes sense.
I believe that's what's happening. Anyways, what were we saying?
So Kaladesh is happening. We're going to Kaladesh. It's going to be the big set
Chandra's
in the fall.
Chandra's parents. Home of Thopters.
Oh, Thopters.
Home of so many Thopters.
So let me just give you the you know, basics here. Of course, it's a two-set block. The other one's going to be called Aether Revolt. So at some point, the Aether is going to be like, fuck this. And revolt.
I'm out.
Whatever that means.
Well, as we, you know, if you remember Chandra's backstory at all, there was kind of like a tyrannical government situation going on when she was living
like a
on
dictator?
Kaladesh.
Or like
no, it was like
Senate.
It seemed like a more of a group. Yeah, it was like a group enforcement situation. And the reason why, you know, she got in so much trouble was they were mad because she was a pyromancer and that wasn't chill anymore.
Oh,
they kind of, you know,
she
like
had power and she might
exactly.
You know. Okay.
And they had tried to, you know, get rid of all the pyromancers.
Oh, systematically. This sounds a lot like the plot of Star Wars. I'm just gonna.
Yeah.
Order 66.
You know, Chandra is Luke Skywalker.
I mean, parents are dead.
Yeah.
Special powers. Government is evil. Tries to kill all the pyromancers.
Yeah.
She carries a flaming stick sometimes.
I guess the only question she does.
Well.
If you mean her hand.
Yeah, I do. Let me have this parallel.
Any good businessman starts a meeting by shaking sticks.
What are you talking about businessmen right now?
Because I'm saying sticks instead of hands.
Oh. Come here, slap your stick with my stick. It's a high five.
I get it.
But if you don't know, the context sounds like something else altogether. So yeah, Kaladesh pre-release October 7th.
Who is going to be Chandra's Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Great question.
Who is Darth Vader? besides that person who is kind of the detainer man.
Who's going to be R2-D2 is what I really want to know.
The guy who had, he had Flash in Origins, and anything that dealt damage to you, you got to take it away.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's his face?
He was a prison warden.
Oh, wait, no, that was Gideon's prison warden.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
This other guy was way meaner than that dude.
Anyway, we're going to Kaladesh. Something notable, which I bragged about on Twitter. And he
tried to kill Chandra, and Chandra set everything on fire. And then her spark ignited, and she planeswalked away.
She just planeswalked on out of there.
Well, she had like a, she like trauma walked. She like trauma planes walked away.
She trauma.
No, don't ever say that again. That was terrible. I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
I feel bad. I just want to
brag about me probably being right about contraptions.
You think we're gonna see contraptions?
Yes.
You think we're gonna see steam flogger boss?
Look, we're going to Kaladesh, the steampunkiest plane in existence. What other plane would have contraptions? This I ask you.
I mean, it's, I think you are correct that it's either Kaladesh or bust.
Yep, I agree.
It's gotta be there or nowhere.
So yeah, Steamflogger Boss, actually the price super spiked because a lot of people came to the same conclusion.
Which well, I mean, like, funny. To $7.
To $7. It's not like $50 now.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of funny. So yeah, I hope it happens because I would love to assemble contraptions. And this, Megan and I had a, like, you know, a little talk about what we thought contraptions would be. And I thought it would be cool if contraptions was. So like Steamflogger Boss says, if you would, you know, if you have control, what, an assembly worker?
No, if you would assemble one contraption, you assemble two contraptions. Yes. And Ted.
So I hope that contraptions are things that, like, different kinds of creatures can assemble different kinds of contraptions. And those contraptions are things like equipment or, like, wings that give your creature flying. Yeah. Or, like, a little helicopter that your creatures can fly around
in. A thopter-copter.
What if it was a thopter, or, like, a two-seater?
Like a thopter-copter.
A thopter-copter. It's a two-seater, so two creatures that don't have flying can sit in it and have flying. Yeah.
What do you think, Ghost Host?
Great insight.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, I'm so excited about this idea. One is a jetpack that it assembles, and so it's like it gets flying, but only for a turn, and then it has to take a turn off where this is too complicated. But and then it doesn't have flying for a turn because it ran out of fuel. But then you can pay to refuel the jetpack and shoot it back up into the air.
I think you're.
There's fuel counters
like,
on it.
There's no fuel there. It's all powered by magic.
Oh, okay.
It's magic.
Well, I think this would be really cool, Wizards, if this is not what you designed.
They're automatons.
Get on it, because I love the thopter-copter idea.
Thopter-copter.
Anyway, yeah, Kaladesh, really excited. We saw new planeswalker who showed up. Sahili Rai is her name, and she looks bamf. She's wearing like gold, like...
Yeah.
I don't know how she got into that thing.
That's what I was saying. She had to mold it around herself.
Yeah.
Or she planeswalked into it.
She just planeswalked right into that outfit.
Exactly.
Shwing!
It's bamf. And then, like, whatever she's like, forming, like, little, like, metal crystalline structures in her hand. It's baller. It's
so cool.
So cool.
So, yeah, excited for Kaladesh and Me Aether Revolt. Too. When apparently all the Aether in the world gets tired of powering people's, you know, curling irons and dildos and says, we're going to do something else.
No, you're thinking of the Higgs bosons. No, I'm thinking of the Aether is more like the ether, which is really not, it's not a thing that actually existed. They thought it did for a long time. They used it to explain shit. But when you think about it, the Higgs boson field is like a little bit like it, because it's what gives everything's mass is moving through it.
I'll tell you what gives everything mass.
Church?
Butter. Both good answers. You know where I go on Sundays? Butter church. Would you go to butter church?
I mean, don't I already?
Every time I go to brunch, it's like butter church. When your parents ask you, like, why don't you go to church anymore? You're like, well, I do.
I do.
I found a new savior.
Yep.
And it comes from a cow's teat. Butter church. Megan, do you want to go to Butter Church this Sunday?
No, when you've been describing it like that.
Fine. Something else exciting that's happening, Eternal Masters, coming out oh so very soon. It's kind of like Modern Masters, except it's even more expensive, probably.
Well, it is costlier, but it also has even older cards and cards that are used in formats like Vintage and Legacy.
Yeah, this is really powerful stuff. We're talking
Jace the Mother Fripping Mind Sculptor. Mana Crypt. Like, get out of here. Days
is back.
You're going to be able to force spike crap for the low, low cost of picking up an island.
Yeah, that seems really good. Maze of Ith.
Yeah.
Which is from the dark. We opened the Maze of Ith on the show way back in the day.
I like playing Maze of Ith in cube, depending on the deck that I draft. Yeah. But you can use it in like a super control-y deck.
I loved seeing Nimble Mongoose on here. So I did not know this card, but it's a 1/1 for one green with Shroud and Threshold, which says Nimble Mongoose gets +2/+2 as long as 7 or more cards are in your graveyard.
Ooh, snap.
I like this. I want to build a Mongoose deck.
Yeah, it seems... You know, I don't think I ever have properly understood what a Mongoose is.
It's like a weasel, except friskier.
That looks snakish.
Well, it eats a snake, see? That's the Mongoose.
Oh, gotcha.
He's eating that snake.
Ooh, exciting.
Did you ever read Rikki Tikki Tavi back in the day? That had a Mongoose in it. Children's book. I think it was fairly disturbing. I recall that.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of preview cards are happening this week in Eternal Masters, and it was made to be drafted, so... if you want to potentially open a Jace the Mind Sculptor or any of these cards, like Chrome Mox is in the set as well.
Oh, snap.
Get over to your LGS and play a draft of Eternal. I mean, like, it's going to be great.
It's going to be super cool.
Notably, I've loved both Modern Masters formats, the first more than the second. Mm-hmm. But any set where they specifically have very powerful cards that they make to draft. Yeah. Is a great set.
And there's definitely going to be some draft synergies in there.
Yep.
So check out the spoilers as they're coming out.
And we will be attending some of these drafts and stuff, so we'll have updates for you on some of the best decks and what we played and what we pulled, any sick foils. Like, there is a chance people pull in, you know, $100 bills straight out of these packs, nearly.
Yeah, bro.
You know what I mean?
No.
Expensive cards. Foils, because there's going to be a foil in every pack.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
Megan, who are you anymore?
I don't know.
Are you just like a floating little balloon person?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to be able to drive home, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you, though?
We'll evaluate that when we're done talking. I think I'm all right.
There are some changes to Fat Packs as well. You can check out those sorts of updates.
But everybody remember that exhaustion can be just as dangerous as driving drunk, so don't do it.
That's true. Or, like, eating in the car, talking on a cell phone.
Don't freaking touch your cell phone while you're in your car.
I thought you were going to say touch yourself. Like, you just suddenly got so angry about my people masturbating in cars. Don't freaking touch yourself while you're driving.
Your cell phone.
It really sounded like it.
We're going to GP Minneapolis this weekend. It is standard. We are super excited. If you're going to be there, please come find us for a bracelet or a high five.
Yep.
We will be running around, giving out both and kicking some butt. So that's that.
Yeah, GP Minneapolis standard. Megan and I may both attempt to play some standard, even though I don't like any of the decks.
Definitely attempting.
What are you going to play?
You know, I still have not made up my mind.
Me either. I mean, like, I was trying some decks tonight, and I was just like, ugh. I don't like any of these.
Yeah.
Bored.
We'll figure it out. Find us.
GP Minneapolis will be rounding around, and we are ready to... You know, smile and slap your hands with our hands at any given moment in time.
Yep.
Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I want to tell you that we are on Patreon, patreon.com/MTAcast. Head on over there and join our Patreon family. You get the special bonus of the special bonus every single week. We record extra content. And if you're a patron, anywhere from $1 an episode to $10 an episode, you'll get access to our special, extra special patron special every single week.
Whether you're heading out to a GP, an F&M, or just playing at your kitchen table, you can get some sweet MTAcast swag.
Yeah, man.
To wear or use while you're there. We have Good Luck High Five playmats and t-shirts on our website, magictheamateuring.com.
Yes, and you can get those as well as patrons. $5, $10 gets better rewards. So yeah, we really appreciate everybody who signed up and is new to our Patreon family in the past week. So thank you so much, and thank you to everybody who's a continued supporter. You're the reason this podcast happens.
Say hi to us on Twitter. This week would be a good week to follow us.
Yeah.
At MTAcast.
We're also on Snapchat, MTAcast as well.
And you can find us on Magic Online. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm Horny _ Unicorny.
Until next time, party down, don't frown. I'm out of words.
Yep, and brain cells at this point.
That's what you heard. Oh my god, send help!